Today is Sunday, March 11th, 2018, and my name is Adam. Hello, everyone. And welcome to Geeky Gay. And I'm trying to record this outside because I was like, oh, I'm in the Philippines. It's tropical weather. There's a pool. There are sounds of lovely Korean people, going around and doing whatever they're doing. But it's actually kind of tough because it's windy outside. And one thing that I don't have is I don't have one of those dead cat things. I think I talked about it on the last episode, but sometimes even when I'm talking and I breathe a little too hard or I pronounce a consonant too hard or something like that, it gets picked up really bad. And it's kind of annoying for me when I have to listen to it. And so, so it would really help if I had one of those because then, the wind is really, picking up at night, especially. And it would really help to have that so that the wind didn't get into the microphone and cause, issues. So I'm trying to kind of cup my hand around it. So hopefully the wind is not going to be too bad for everyone, but I could do it inside, but Mark's inside the room, and then I would need to kick him out because, I don't know, it's kind of weird recording in front of people. So I'm out on the, it's not a balcony, it's more of a deck or a patio outside our room, and it looks right out, it actually butts up to the pool. So it's really nice because you walk out of the room and you're literally at the edge of the pool. So, and no one can use that space they can't lay on that space or sit on it or anything like that. So we can go out and we can, lay at the edge of the pool or whatever. And we're the only ones that are supposed to be using that area. So I don't remember exactly what we talked about last time, but I'm going to assume that I talked about going to Nathan's family's house and hanging out with Nathan there and having the dinner and everything. And then I think I recorded on Monday because I didn't really do anything on Monday. So I'll probably start on Tuesday. So Monday night, I decided, you know what? I didn't do anything today. I really need something planned because I didn't do anything on Monday. I went to the spa and I laid around on the bed. I slept late because I was really having trouble getting used to the time in London. And so at night when I would try to go to bed, I was not able to go to sleep. And so I would just lay in bed for, sometimes 2 or 3 hours. And sometimes even more. One night I didn't get asleep. I didn't get to sleep until like 6 a.m. And so, so I was sleeping really late as well. And then Monday I didn't have anything specific planned. And, Nathan was working because he started a new job the week before. And so I was going to meet him for dinner on Monday night after he got off from work. But other than that, I didn't have anything planned. But, there were many things I could do. I could go to Brighton, which is a train trip. It's about an hour train ride. And I lived in Brighton, so I thought it would be cool to go there and kind of, go back to where I used to live and get some photos of that and, eat at a pub there in town that I used to eat at all the time. And, go to the beach because Brighton's on the beach. Go to the pier and, see some stuff there. And so I was going to do that and then ended up sleeping so late that I couldn't do that. And I basically just didn't want to do anything. But I thought, well, I wasted all of Monday. Here I am in London and I'm just like laying in the hotel. I mean, luckily it's a really nice hotel, so that was cool. But you know, I should be doing something. So I thought, well, I'm going to look back into that Harry Potter studio tour. And everyone's going to think, you know, all this talk of Harry Potter. I went to the Harry Potter play on Saturday, the first Saturday that after I arrived. And, you know, and then talking about going to the studio tour, everyone's going to think, gosh, you know, Adam is really a Harry Potter fan. And, you know, I mean, I'm not ashamed. I do like Harry Potter, but it would just seem like, you know, I'm doing everything Harry Potter in London that's imaginable. And so, but I thought, you know what? I don't have any plans for tomorrow. I'm just going to see. I really need to plan something, you know, so that I'm definitely doing something. And so I decided I'm going to look on the website and see if I can, if it's too late to get tickets. And actually, when I had recorded on Monday, I mentioned to you guys on the recording that maybe I was going to check and see if there were any tickets available. So I looked on the website, and all of the tickets were sold out for both Tuesday and Wednesday, which were my only two options. But I saw this tab that said deluxe package or VIP package. And I thought, well, you know, I bet those don't sell out as quick as the general admission because, you know, who's going to do the deluxe package? So let me look at that and see if that's something that I can possibly do. And I looked on there, and sure enough, the deluxe package was available for the next morning. They had a 10 a.m. tour. Or actually, I think it was I can't remember whether it was 9 or 10 a.m., but that's irrelevant. So I think it was 10, and then it's like a two-hour tour. But so I looked at it, and it included before I tell you guys how much it cost, because it was ridiculous, but before I tell you how much it costs, to tell you what was included, because maybe, you know, you won't be as irritated on the cost of this. But it included a personalized tour with a tour guide, and also a photo package where you got four photos plus a video. They have all these booths all over the place where you can get your picture taken. Pushing the cart into the wall at the train station, or riding the Hogwarts Express, or riding a broom, or, you know, and you can do a video riding a broom, is basically what the video is. And you get your lunch, you get a hot lunch, and then you also get, something else. A deluxe guidebook. You get a name tag, you know, with a lanyard and all of that, and you get access all day long to the tour. You can go back in as many times as you want. And so for that, the cost was £225, which if you do the exchange to dollars, it's around $300. It's a little bit over $300. But I thought, you know what, you know, I don't know when I'm going to be back to London. These are the actual props and sets that they used on Harry Potter. So this is, and the tour is actually in the soundstage that they used to record all of the Harry Potter films. So I decided, you know what, I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to do it because if I don't, you know, what am I going to do tomorrow? I want to have something planned, and if I've spent money on it, you know, then I'm sure to get out of the bed and, you know, do it. Well, in order to do that, though, the transportation there, I was a little bit worried about because I needed to be there by around 9:30. And where I was staying, I didn't realize I had already bought the ticket. So I bought the ticket. I pulled the trigger. I was like, okay, I'm just buying the ticket. And then after that, I realized that to get there via public transportation, like the tube, the various trains, it was quite far away. I was staying in the south bank of the Thames River, and the kind of in central London, and the Warner Brothers Studios is in kind of a suburb of London. I don't think it's even in London proper, and it's to the northwest of London, quite a ways. So in order to get there, I was going to have to walk to the tube station from my hotel, which is about a 15-minute walk. Then take the tube to a train station, which was about a 15-minute tube ride. And at that time of the morning, it's, you know, rush hour because everyone's going to work. And then from there, I have to catch a train that goes to the station that's nearest to Warner Brothers, but that's not close enough. So then you have to catch a shuttle bus that's provided by the tour, and it's only run every 15 minutes, so you have to time it just right and get on the bus, and that's a 15-minute ride from the station to Warner Brothers. And so I was a little bit worried about that because, you know, that's a lot of planning that I have to do. Plus, I have to get up early enough, and I had been having trouble sleeping. So, you know, that's the other thing. I'd been having trouble sleeping, so I thought, what if I have trouble sleeping and I'm so super sleepy in the morning that I can't get up or something like that. So anyway, I did go to bed at a reasonable hour. I probably tossed and turned for a couple of hours. So I probably, and a reasonable hour for me, especially when I'm on vacation, is probably around midnight. So I probably tossed and turned for around 2 hours. I turned on a podcast with the sleep timer on, thinking a little bit of noise might make me sleepy. I turned on YouTube for a while. That didn't work. And then I finally thought, I'm going to listen to one of those fan noises. So I had free Wi-Fi at the hotel, so I just pulled up fan noise on YouTube. And I turned on a fan. And because I always sleep with a fan, and I always used to sleep with a fan when I was growing up as well. So I thought, maybe that will put me to sleep. And so I turned that on, and probably about 30 minutes after I turned that on, I was able to go to sleep around 2 a.m. at this point. And so I did go to sleep, and I got up, you know, I had set my alarm for, I don't remember now, probably 7 or 7:30. But I got up in time, I got showered, walked to the tube station, was able to make all of the trains on time, no problem, got to Harry Potter early, and so that was good. And then I was, you know, I was with a group, so it was a deluxe tour, but you have a small group, you know, with a tour guide. So we get up there, you know, they're all cheery, and they're like, oh, okay, we're going to give you guys your lanyards, and you're going to go in, we're going to get you through security. So, you know, what they do is there's a big long line of general admission people, and they actually take you in. You cut in line, basically. And I always hate doing that because you look so super privileged. I always talk about Baron Frosty on here, but I'm sure Baron loves doing that because it makes him look important. But I always feel so rude, like, oh my God, I'm cutting in front of all of these people. I'm no better than them, you know. But anyway, they do that. We go through security. And then, you know, they explain everything to us. They introduce us to our tour guide, who was super cute and super British looking, in my opinion. Kind of pasty white skin and floppy hair and very skinny and just, you know, just what I consider British looking. And anyway, he was really cute to me. I think I posted a picture of him on Facebook. I'm not sure. But anyway, so he says, okay, guys, we're going to go, you know, he explains it to us. We're going to go and we're going to go with the general admission people. We're going to watch a little video. He said, I'm going to leave you guys for that. That takes about 5 minutes. And then you're going to join me again. And we're going to go through the tour. He said, I'm going to point out where all the photos and video opportunities are, but you're going to do that after the official tour. He's like, the official tour will take about 2 hours. And then, you know, I'll point out all the extra stuff that you guys got. And he said, when we're done, you can come back and do all the videos and, you know, et cetera. And so we go in and see the video. And, of course, we had reserved seats on the front row, which also felt a little awkward. But it was cool because there was quite a lot of people there. I mean, the general admission had sold out, so it was really full. And so it was good to be in the front of the line. And then the screen that the video had been projected on raises into the ceiling, and behind it is the entrance to Hogwarts. And it's the actual doors into Hogwarts, and this is the actual doors that they used in the movie. And it leads you into the Great Hall, which is, again, the actual Great Hall that they use in the movie. And interestingly, the Great Hall, they used actual stone for the floor. And everything, anyway, they've left most everything the way it was in the actual movies. And so you look up, of course, you look up and there's no ceiling. It's all lights and, you know, black scaffolding and stuff like that. But they added that, they edited that in later. But the walls and the floor and everything are what they actually used. And they have costumes, they have set pieces, they have all this. He took selfies of us in front of the doors. So after, at one point, we came back in, he closed the door again, and we all got to take a selfie. The tour guide took a selfie of each one of us with our phones in front of the door. And anyway, he led us through, you know, the most important of the sets, because they were actual sets. They had the potions classroom set. They had Dumbledore's office. They had a recreation of the woods, whatever it was called, the woods that they went to. They had the train station with the actual train, the Hogwarts Express, in it. And he explained to us, you know, they had to film some of the train footage in actual locations in England and Scotland. So they would actually move the train late at night, or like super early in the morning, they would actually move the train and, you know, film some of the scenes. The triple-decker bus as well was there, and he explained that they filmed some of those scenes actually in London. And the triple-decker part wouldn't get under any of the bridges, so when they would come to a bridge, they would have to take a crane and lift the third deck off the bus, drive the bottom two decks of the bus under the bridge, and then reattach it on the other side. He said those scenes from the movie where they used the night bus took 2 months of Sundays at like 3 a.m. For them to record in London. So anyway, he took us all through. They had the ministry, a lot of the ministry of magic set. They had, you know, all kinds of stuff. And it was all original set. They had a special effects area where it showed the creatures and how they did the makeup. And they had the hippogriff. I can't remember what his name is now, but the hippogriff. It was really cool. And he was a really good tour guide. And he actually held things up and showed them and explained. He was like a Harry Potter nerd himself. So he knew like all about everything. And he explained everything in great detail. And so, and then, you know, I did some of the photos. I didn't do all of them because it's so embarrassing. You know, they have all the green screen stuff, right? Where you're sitting on a broom, but you have a green screen wall behind you. And, you know, they take the green screen out and put, you know, some backdrop in. So I did that. I did the video, which again, you look stupid up there riding a broom, making faces and doing all this kind of stuff. But I wanted to get my money's worth. So I did it. I ate my meal. I met a really nice woman from Boston who works for PayPal, and she was actually in England, in London, on a business trip for PayPal, and had just taken the morning off to do this studio tour. And she was really nice. We ate lunch together and then had butter beer. And my favorite part is they have an area of it that's the models that they used. So there are two different types of models. They have models that are actually smaller that they use for some of the camera shots where they don't actually have a big version of whatever it is that they're shooting. But they also have, when they are creating characters and set pieces, they will start with a drawing and then they will do an artist rendition, and then they will build a model like out of that, the foam core board or the poster board stuff, just like architects do when they're building models of new buildings they're going to, you know, be constructing. They do the same thing. So they took us through that. And then you get to the end and it is a huge model of Hogwarts. I mean, like, it is amazing and it's really big, but it's not obviously the size of a castle. It fits inside a room, but it's a huge warehouse room, and it's very tall. And, you know, he explained how they would actually dress the individual rooms in the castle. They would put, you know, actual artwork, and they would do, you know, miniature artwork and all this kind of stuff. It's like a dollhouse on a very grand scale. And he said that's what they used for all the exterior shots of Hogwarts. And so he said the only CGI Hogwarts was the very last movie when they blew up Hogwarts, because the art department wanted to, or the special effects guys wanted to blow up the actual model. And the art department said, no way, that, you know, this model, you know, took so much work to build, and they wanted to keep it in the tour or the museum or, you know, whatever. They did not want to destroy it. So the last movie, Hogwarts is CGI, just so they could actually blow it up, basically. And so anyway, and so, you know, that, and then the next, so I did that. That was cool. And then I had to get back to London in time to meet Paul Chayeti. And I actually had to bump it because I didn't realize, again, I had not realized how long it was going to take. And I knew that the tour was going to take around 3 hours. And I could have stayed even longer. Really, I could have done a full day if I had leisurely kind of walked around everything again after the guided tour. But I didn't really have time to do that, so I kind of rushed through everything after the guided tour and got the bus back to the train station, got the train back to the tube station, got the tube back to where I needed to be in London. And then I met Paul at the British Museum. And we had a really nice chat. We recorded a little bit of a podcast sitting on a bench in the British Museum. We were... it was really, I don't know, it was funny. I mean, recording in public like that with people walking by, and we were sitting next to the Eskimo exhibit. And so we had a really nice chat. We talked all about podcasting and kind of how Paul got into podcasting and the fact that he used to do videos with his friends in college or in university, and they were on VHS, and like how he edited those, and, you know, the fact that he's trying to put some of those on YouTube now, and you know, how that kind of parlayed into him doing podcasting. And it's interesting, you know, how people get into podcasting. And I always find it interesting that some people that do podcasting don't actually aren't in those creative fields. So like Paul is a librarian, which, you know, can be creative, but I was surprised he's not like, you know, working for some radio station. Or he said he does do hospital radio, which I've never heard of before. But he does do a radio show occasionally with one of his friends, and it's a station that only plays in a hospital. And the hospital actually has a radio studio and everything inside. And so, anyway, that was really cool. We had a really good chat. I really enjoyed meeting him, and I tried to beg him and plead with him to come to Pride 48 in August in New Orleans. So we'll see if that works out. But we really want to see him there, so I hope it does. And then Tuesday night, I had a musical that I went to. I went to Everybody's Talking About Jamie. And I'm going to preface this again. I'm not a reviewer, and I suck at it. So for those of you who wanted me to do a review, it's going to be a limited review because I just, you know, I don't do that. But the premise is a guy who is gay and has always wanted to be a drag queen, always liked to dress up in women's clothes. He's in a small town in, I believe, northern England. I may get that wrong because I didn't look it up to see if that's where it's at. But I believe he's in northern England, and it's a very blue-collar sort of town, and it's just talking about all of his struggles, you know, coming, basically not even coming out, but basically coming out to his classmates that he wants to be a drag queen, and then, you know, his father's acceptance of him, and, you know, his mother, you know, how supportive she was. And It's got some really catchy tunes. It's a lot of solos. It's not a lot of ensemble work, which actually the ensemble sounded amazing together. So I would have liked a lot more of the tunes to have been ensemble pieces. But it was a lot of solos and dance numbers and stuff like that. The story was good. Again, I'm not a huge fan. I don't remember if I said this, but I'm not a huge drag fan. But the lead character was amazing. He was really good, and he's cute too, which doesn't hurt, obviously. And so, again, kind of a typical British-looking guy, but he had, I think it was bleach blonde for the performances, but bleach blonde hair and skinny and, you know, British-looking. And so that was cool. And the other kind of the antagonist, I'll say, in the class was also a very cute British guy. And so it was really enjoyable. You know, the music, again, was very catchy. The band was – they weren't on the stage per se. They were – it's hard to describe. They were on the top level of the set. So sometimes you saw them kind of in silhouette, and sometimes you didn't, but you could tell that they were there. They were not in a pit, so that was really cool. The set was very small, but it was very I thought it was very creative in the way that they did set changes and the way they got so many sets out of this small area. It was really cool, and I really enjoyed it. By the end, you know, I wasn't convinced at the beginning, especially because of the content. But by the end, I was really enjoying it. So, so that was really cool. And then Wednesday, I just did a kind of a tour around. I took the tube. I got up around, I don't know, 10 or 11 o'clock. Checked out of the hotel, but I was able to store my bags, and then I basically went to all the places I wanted to see from when I did my study abroad in London. So I went back to the place where my dorm, like where I lived, took some photos of that. It looks exactly the same. And in fact, it's still a dorm. Like the sign is still there for the international student program and like all that. In fact, I think I saw some students walking towards there when I was walking. I went to a local park. I think it's Jubilee Park, and took some pictures there. And just did a walk around, got some pictures of the tube station that I always used every day, Gloucester Road Station. And I went over to Canary Wharf and had lunch at Jamie's Italian. Jamie Oliver is a famous chef in England, and I love eating at famous chefs' restaurants. So I had pappardelle bolognese, I believe, and then I had like a bread basket. And it was good. It was really good. And got some photos at Canary Wharf. And I was having such a good time that I had planned to be back at the hotel by 4 o'clock. My flight was at 8:30 from Heathrow to, it was my first flight to get to the Philippines. And I had a layover in Beijing. And I know that you need at least 2 hours. And Heathrow's a large airport and a really busy airport. And so I thought, well, if I leave the hotel by 4, if I get an Uber and I leave the hotel by 4, and I figured it would take about an hour via Uber, you know, I'll be there by 5, and that gives me 3.5 hours. So that's plenty of time. But I was having such a good time taking photos and everything that I didn't actually get to the hotel until 5. And I thought, oh, that's still plenty of time. I'll get there by 6. I'll have 2.5 hours, no problem. So I call an Uber. He shows up probably about 10 after 5. And he asks me, oh, what time's your flight? And I tell him, and he said, oh, you know, this is rush. You know, between 4 and 7 o'clock is the busiest time in London. He's like, I'll do my best to get you there on time. And I was thinking, gosh, you know, I have 3.5 hours. There's no way, because from my hotel to Heathrow Airport was like 15 miles total. And so anyway, and so he, we start moving, and it was, I want to say, we were stop and go traffic for, I don't know, a really long time, and over an hour. of I mean, we made it like, I would say we made it maybe 5 miles in an hour. And I got so nervous, and I had already almost missed my plane to New York, if you guys recall. So, I knew Mark was gonna, you know, have something to say if I missed my plane, it would screw up our entire Philippines trip, because I don't know when I would, you know, I of course got a non-refundable ticket. And so anyway, and it's non-changeable. So I would either have to buy a completely new ticket last minute, and it would still screw everything up because our timetables would be messed up for, you know, hotels he had booked and everything. And so I called the airline, I called Expedia. They're like, there's nothing we can do, just try to get there on time. My leg was beating up and down because I was so nervous, and I was having that restless leg thing. And so, I mean, luckily, by the grace of God, or whatever you want to say, I don't even know why I said it that way. But anyway, you know, luckily, we made it by like 6:50. And I had asked them, I'm like, you know, what time do you close check-in? Because I know airlines close check-in, depending on whether it's domestic or international. And they said, well, we close check-in an hour before. And so the plane was leaving at 8:25. So she's like, you've got to be there by 7:25. Well, I didn't know how long the line was going to be in the, you know, in the airport once I got there. I got in. I was able to check in and get, you know, and the there was a lovely British girl doing the check-in. And I basically told her, Mark says I always tell people my life story, but they know, they hear my American accent. British people don't do that. They don't really tell their life story, but, you know, they understand as soon as they hear my Southern American drawl that, you know, he's going to be emotional and tell his whole life story. So I was like, oh my God, I didn't think I was going to get here, and I'm going to see my boyfriend in the Philippines, and he's going to kill me if I don't get there. And she's like, aw, bless. She's like, you're going to be fine, you know, and you know, whatever. And so, and she says, well, you've made it with plenty of time. She's like, yeah, you just go right through security over there. And she said, you're not boarding for another 30 minutes. You should be able to make it through security in that time. So I was able to, you know, get through security and go. And I was able to make it to the plane. And it was actually delayed a little bit because of the blizzard that was happening in Europe. It was kind of delayed, and so it actually left probably, well, we boarded probably 45 minutes later than what we were supposed to board. And then well, now what am I saying? I'm totally screwed up. Oop. I would edit this out, but I'm not going to, so forget about that. So I got in there. We boarded on time. I was thinking the trip from New York. I've gone to so many places now. I'm confused. But anyway, I was able to get on the plane, and then I'm gonna stop it there. But I will tell you guys, my goal was to not sleep at all. So it was an 11 or a 10 and a half hour flight from London to Beijing, then a 4 hour layover in Beijing, and then another 4.5 hour flight to Manila. And I wanted to be super tired when I got to Manila so that I could sleep, because it's another 8 hour time difference from London. And so I'll tell you how that worked out on the next recording and about the Philippines. For more episodes of the show, go to geekygay.com. You can email me, adamburns.uk@gmail.com. And you can call me, 229-234-7587. And you can find many more LGBT and LGBT-friendly shows over at pride48.com. I'll see you guys in the next recording from the Philippines. Bye, everyone.
This show is part of the Pride 48 Network. Find more shows over at pride48.com.